It started with a whisper.
I would want them all to be in the same room and have a really frank and full discussion in the next couple of weeks, just so they're on that page that actually allows them to play great footy next year, not look over their shoulders and wondering if the coach wanted them in the first place or he's going to tip them in the second place.
He should have been hauled off, I reckon, about 10 balls before that. He actually showed a real lack of intent to actually even try and score.
I said, oh, Dennis, let's you know, I think it's time. I'm going to pull the pin and retire. He paused for a bit. He looked at me and says, geez, I think you made the right call.
You can bugger off, Mark. If you want to close the borders for the rest of the country, the Ashes tests should go to Hobart.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Wednesday Forum.
Let's welcome in the team. First of all, Mark Waugh, I tell you what, keep your phone close to you, Junior, throughout the rest of the week, because I am clocking down a few times of these greyhounds trialling at Sandown, and surely we can find a couple of winners at a price. Hello to you, Junior.
Yeah, g'day, Gareth. Well, we'll leave that up to you, mate. You keep us informed, and we'll see how you go.
Did your great mate Ricky Ponting ever get you into a greyhound, Junior?
I didn't get into a greyhound with Ricky, but I've been in a couple over the years. Couple have gone okay too. So, yeah, I love it. Used to, when I was a 16, 17-year-old, I used to hop the fence at Wentworth Park and save my $5 and used to love the greyhounds, yeah.
I see Brenton Abdallah's got a really smart one at the moment as well that won during the week, so he's cashed up, especially if that greyhound can compete in some of the richer races. Well,
he's
in
cashed
New South
up anyway.
Wales.
Don't worry
about
that.
Yeah, I know. Those jockeys. Adam White, hello to you.
G'day, Grandpa Gareth. How are you going?
I'm very well.
Look at your jumper. What do you think of his jumper, Mark? I mean, it's...
I can't see it. I can only see your head. Well,
you probably don't want to see my head or Gareth's jumper, but anyway.
You guys giving me fashion.
No. Well, you can't get... Yeah, it's my...
There's a bit of a Nick Faldo type. It's a... Lowell and Scott type.
It's a tan sort of roll neck,
cable
knit.
I like it, actually. Dana picked it out, and she'll be disappointed in you, Whitey, making her choice of clothing. Anyway, we'll
I remember back in, I reckon it was 1995.
Yes.
Me and a few friends were at the Olympic Park Dogs on a Monday night, and Mark Waugh and Ricky Ponting were there. You were there. Mark Waugh and Ricky Ponting were there the day before a day-night game at the MCG.
Yes.
And the next day, Mark Waugh made 100.
There you go.
Yeah. We just got to get it. Just quickly interrupting you a little bit. Hey, Jase, can you make sure you get some footage of Falgate doing this? Michael Falgate's just putting a greyhound into a box here, and he looks so uncoordinated, it's not funny. So I wanted to get it on camera so we can show everybody. But we'll move on to our topics as we speak. Mitchell Marsh. Junior, you're all over Mitch Marsh, and you were right. I can't believe he was dropped mid-tournament, but it was just wonderful to see what he did in that World Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, everybody talks about Mitch Marsh, whether it's good or bad, but he's a great young fella. And he's a good player. He's a really good player, great ball striker. And, you know, it's great to see him do well in a big game. We know he's got it in him, but it's just a matter of performances out in the middle. And I think that'll give him a heap of confidence that the tournament, and particularly in the final where he came out and smacked, 77 or 50 balls. His first shot just whipped Adam Milne over square leg for six. So you could tell he was pretty confident and wanted to play sort of fearless cricket, which he did do. He did it well.
So the big question is, Gareth and Mark, from what he did in the T20 World Cup, has that any relevance at all on a selection for a test series? Now, my view is absolutely it should not, but what's your view on that?
Well, yeah, it probably shouldn't have a lot to do with it. It's like comparing a sprinter to a stayer, isn't it? I mean, it's a different format, completely different format. But what it does show is he's... You know, I think he's confident at that level now, and he feels comfortable the way he's playing, even though Test match cricket, he's going to have to bat differently to what he played in the T20 World Cup. But I just think he might have a bit more confidence now, and if he can string together some Sheffield Shield runs, I think he will put a bit of pressure on that middle order in the Test team. Even though it is a different format, it's going to be good for him.
As a selected junior, do you have a criteria where you have to go, okay, at the start of the summer, for instance, you say to your fellow selectors that we want to pick players that have performed in Shield cricket, have put the runs on the board, and we'll pick the most informed player from Shield cricket? Or do you go, do you give yourself a little bit of leeway saying that we'll pick the best player, maybe gut instinct, like the Mitchell Marsh, with momentum and confidence, even though that he's done really well in T20 cricket. He hasn't played too much red ball cricket, but we know in a way that he's proved himself in an Ashes series. Do we just take the punt with him?
Well, I think there's no set rule with selections. Yep. It's probably a combination of both gut feeling, the balance of the team, the form of a player. I mean, sometimes you can't just go on stats and runs alone or wickets, because if that's the case, then you don't need selectors. You just, a computer can pick the team. So, you know, it's a bit combination of both. Geez, can I get any louder there? That lure whipping around?
This is kind of the same thing.
But I think it's a combination in answer to your question. So, at the end of the day, it'll be both. The selectors will look at form and they'll look at the balance of the team, who we're playing against, conditions, and, yeah, momentum of players. Confidence is a big thing in any sport, and it's pretty big when you're a batsman, especially in cricket.
But Gareth, but I think the situation with Mitch Marsh is that if you look at what Cameron Green has done in that all-rounder slot, for a while now at Sheffield Shield level, he's made a lot of hundreds, a lot of big scores. He's proven his worth to go to the next level. I don't think you can play Mitch Marsh ahead of Cameron Green. And then if you were to play Mitch Marsh at number five, there's two things at play here. Firstly, what Usman Khawaja has done in red ball cricket has to count for more than what, just in this last period of time in the Sheffield Shield, has to count for more than what Mitch Marsh did in the T20 World Cup. And the other reality, too, is that Mitch Marsh being a right-hander, there are so many right-handers in that Australian team at the moment. A Khawaja or a Head being a left-hander at five just breaks it up a little bit. And I think that has to count for something as well, shouldn't it, Mark?
Yeah, although having said that, we've got two left-handers at the top with Warner and probably Harris. So that'd be three left-handers and three right-handers. Look, I think you're right in what you're saying. You're probably not going to play Marsh and Green in the same team. I think it's one or the other. And Cameron Green, you know, I think he's a superstar. He's going to be a tremendous player for Australia. So, you know, he's got to have first crack. You know, he'll be that number six. And I think the number five, I think at this stage, it's probably going to come down to Travis Head or Usman Khawaja, and I've probably got Travis Head there at number five. So Mitch Marsh, yeah, look, if he goes back to Shield cricket and peels off, you know, lots of hundreds and big hundreds, then he'll definitely come into the reckoning. But I think just at this stage, you couldn't pick him off the T20 World Cup. It's a different format. So, you know, I think that's the way the selectors will probably look at it too.
We are live at Sandown Park, as you can hear in the background here for RSN Central this morning.
Are you clocking those times, Gareth?
Yeah, I am actually. I've got the clock. I've got my clock watch on the side. I can look at the scoreboard there as well. And then I get the wink from a few of the trainers. And they've just told me, Gareth, I've got to keep a few to myself because they want the price as well when they make their debut at Sandown in a maiden series. So, hey, I think you guys would have been proud of me last week when you told me the questions I needed to ask George Bailey, and we got some terrific answers from the selector as well. So he basically said, Junior, that Marcus Harris will be playing in that first test. Did that surprise you a little bit, that he made that call so early?
Yes, it did. It did surprise me a little bit, but I can sort of see the reckoning. He's probably just wants Marcus Harris just to relax a bit and not be too tense going into the last Shield match, which could affect his performance. I think he's hoping that by telling him that, he's going to go in with a freer mind and start peeling, you know, maybe peel off some runs, and that confidence can flow through to the Test match. Having said that, I would have waited. I would have waited to the last, you know, these rounds of Shield matches to make my decision. But, you know, I can see the thought process behind it, and he's showing faith in Marcus Harris, which, you know, a lot of players, they feel comfortable with that, and they produce their best when there's a bit of comfort there for them.
Did you like that move, Whitey?
I agree with Mark. I think that's why it was done. I mean, Marcus is a very emotional cricketer, and I think he takes on a lot. I think for him to know that his body of work over a period of time was going to be appreciated and respected means that he's more likely to bat well rather than almost try too hard. You know, he had that double failure at the MCG, having got runs in that earlier game at Des Moines Oval. I think that exactly what Mark said, it just gives him that chance to relax a bit more and concentrate on just spending some time in the middle rather than being preoccupied with getting a score. I think the other interesting part to all of this is, I believe today, as early as today at least, the extended Ashes squad will be announced, and they are going to have a practice match, in, like an intra-club, which is what they did before the Ashes back in 2019. And some of the names that have emerged in a report in The Age down here in Melbourne today have been Henry Hunt, which I really like. Five first-class centuries in 20 first-class matches. He's only 23, formerly from New South Wales, who's gone across to South Australia as a top-order player. But the interesting one, Mark, for me was that Bryce Street was mentioned, and also Matt Renshaw, who's sort of trying to get his career going again as a number five, because Bryce Street has kept him out of the opening position where he opened for Australia.
Yeah, look, I haven't seen Henry Hunt or Bryce Street play a lot, but their records are pretty solid. You know, Henry Hunt, as you say, scored five centuries, averaging just under 40. Bryce Street averaging 37. Renshaw, we know he's got talent. You know, he's been there, done that before. He's a solid player. I'll wait to see the official announcement of the squads, but I'm surprised. I'd be surprised if Nick Maddison's not there.
Yeah, he's another one that's in the mix, yeah.
Okay, yeah, look, I definitely have him in the mix. But, yeah, I think they probably just want to have a look at those two young guys, you know, around the team and around the squad and see how they go against some you know, quality bowling in that trial match. So, yeah, interesting that they identified those two young players. That's great.
Yeah, so, Gareth, it's an extended squad, so I wouldn't read too much into it, but you still need four opening batsmen to play a game of cricket when it's amongst yourselves. So, yeah, interesting. I really like Henry Hunt. He's got an exceptional compact technique, up for the fight. He ticks a lot of boxes.
Some great names there as well for Australian cricket going forward. I like Hunt's name as well. Henry Hunt, what a name.
It sounds like a racehorse trainer or something.
Banjo Patterson would have loved Henry Hunt playing for Australia. 10:48, we'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk more cricket. And we'll also have a chat about whether Bubba can get the job done in town today in Sydney for Kim Moore. Welcome back to RSN Central, 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation on the Wednesday Forum with Gareth Hall, Adam Wine and, of course, Mark Waugh. Who do you think should be batting at number five for the Australian cricket side for that first Ashes test in Brisbane in just about 2 weeks' time now? So 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. We are live from Sandown Park as we get set for the TAB Melbourne Cup heats on Friday night, and some of the biggest names in the sport will be joining me throughout the show. But I'll go back to you here, Adam White, as I want to touch on Tim Payne. Like, he hasn't played competitive cricket just yet. Are you concerned, and he's about to play in the next week or so, are you concerned that he hasn't played enough cricket heading towards an Ashes series?
Well, it's not ideal, obviously. He's playing club cricket this weekend, and then he's going to play in a four-day game for the Tasmanian second 11 next week. So, and he'll wicket-keep in both of those matches, and then he'll get that intra-club. So that's pretty much going to be his body of work in sort of match simulation before the first test. So clearly it's not ideal, but it is what it is. I think it's enough for him to play. It's just a question of whether he's going to be at full strength just with not having that foundation. Mark, what do you think? I mean, is it a concern, or it is what it is?
Well, I mean, it is what it is. As you say, it's not perfect. You'd like to see a bit more match practice, you know, toughen him up before that first test. You know, wicket-keeping is not an easy thing to do, is it? You know, you're crouching every ball, and he's captain as well. So physically, you've got to be pretty fit to do it. So it's definitely going to be testing him out. I'm sure if he's not right, he won't be playing. But, you know, he's a pretty fit guy, isn't he? He's pretty strong. So, yeah, hopefully he's right to go and gets some runs as well, because we need him with the bat at number seven. So, yeah, big job to do, but hopefully he gets there fit and well, 100% right for the first test.
If he doesn't play, is Kerry the next man in line to be our wicket-keeper, Whitey?
Look, I think they would go back to Alex Kerry. I mean, Alex got dropped in the white ball cricket for Josh Inglis as the sort of the reserve wicket-keeper for the T20 World Cup. Obviously, Matthew Wade played. I think they'd go... I don't think Mark Alex has done enough wrong to lose his spot as the incumbent at this point to Josh Inglis.
Yeah, look, I'd pick Alex. I think he's a fine young cricketer. Well, he's not that young anymore, but got a great head and his shoulders, solid batsman. He's keeping solid. you know, there's talk about Josh Inglis, maybe, sticking him up as a test match keeper. But I think Alex Carey's, done his time. He's ready to go if we need him. So he'd be my pick if Tim Payne wasn't quite right.
Sorry, Whitey.
There's a heap of texts here. Do you want to go through them or you want to wait a bit?
We'll do it about 11 o'clock. We'll go through all the SMSs. I just want to ask you this question. I'll start with you here, Mark. Do you think Will Pekoski will play in the Ashes series this time around, or do you think he's making his run a little bit too late because he still hasn't played any cricket yet?
Yeah, look, I don't know. His mental state and his physical state, to be honest. It's a tough question when you don't know that. But just looking from the outside, I'd be very doubtful he'll play a test match this season, just where he's at with his injuries, concussions and all those sorts of things. So I'd be surprised if he plays.
You have a direct line to Chris Rogers, Adam?
Well, the update on Will is that he won't play in the next Shield game against New South Wales. He's not playing in the second 11 game at the moment with, I think it's New South Wales Metro.
Yeah.
And the hope is that he'll play club cricket this weekend. So he won't play in that Australian intra-club. We won't see Will Pekoski play in national cricket this summer.
Okay. So there you go. It's a little bit not disappointing. It is a little sad in a way that we don't get to see him.
Yeah, of course it is. It's really frustrating. But I think at the end of the day, off the back of a shoulder reconstruction as well and the latest concussion, he's just coming from too far back at the moment. Yep. He'll play a lot of test cricket for Australia, we hope, but at this point it's just not going to be the summer. I can't see how it can happen.
Just back to our number five spot. I loved Ian Botham coming out of the media, Junior, saying that Mitch Marsh should be picked. It's a no-brainer for the Australian selectors. I don't think they'd be listening to Ian.
Well, I mean, he was a great player, Ian Botham, and he probably sees Mitch Marsh as a similar sort of player to him, hard hitter who can bowl a bit heavy ball. Obviously, Mitch is not up to beefy Botham's standards yet. But look, you could pick him. I'm not saying you couldn't, but I just think there's probably other candidates that are probably more deserved at this stage of the season.
So, who's your number five then, Junior?
I've got Travis Head in at number five. I just think, he averages nearly 40 in test match cricket. He's had a pretty good start to the season for South Australia in both formats. So I think he deserves first crack. You could throw Khawaja in the mix or Nick Maddison or Mitch Marsh, but I'd pick Travis Head if I was a selector.
Adam White?
I'm going to upset AB off the text here, but I would go with Usman Khawaja. Because it is an Ashes series. If it was next year and there's test matches against West Indies and South Africa, I'd go with a younger player. But it's all about winning the Ashes, so you go with your best 11. And Aussie averages over 50 in test match cricket in Australia. That's good enough for me with his recent form at Shield level.
All right, mate, go through a few SMSs now because we've got a few questions. We need to ask Junior about Bubba today, and there's a few others that are going around for the Kim War stable this week as well.
All right, so AB says that recycling Usman Khawaja is a joke. It's time to look ahead and suggest that I'm talking drivel. By suggesting that Khawaja would be the player to go with. Maddison has been the form player for 3 years. He should be the automatic number five. There's another one there. There's one here for Mark. You might remember a month ago I asked for advice about playing around my front leg, that I was struggling to hit the ball off my pads. Well, I made the adjustment and opened up my front leg. It worked. Hitting them much better. Thanks for your help from Peter. So there you go. Sort of masterclass sort of stuff.
Good stuff, Pete. Good stuff. Pete's in form.
Yeah, it's always great to be in form at this time of the year in the cricket because...
Pete might be a chance at number five.
Yeah, 100%. Put your hand up, Pete. But November and October, it always rains, Junior. They tell me, and we've done a little bit of investigation work here, especially with our racing team, Matty Stewart, with our race day morning team on a Saturday. They got Jane Bunn, who's the weather presenter for Channel 7 here on weekdays, and she said that November is the wettest month of the year, Junior.
Okay. So is this a statement or a question?
It's a statement. My point is that you should tell Kim to make sure you put your wet trackers in work and they're ready to go in November.
Just like a car. Just get him out of the garage and bring him out. Yeah, we'll do that. But we don't have many wet trackers. Actually, Bubba's are probably our best wet tracker who's racing today.
Are we getting on Bubba today?
I think she's a great chance. I think she's second favourite now. She's out to about $3.50, but she's got to run well. She's drawn well. She's probably a better form's on softer tracks, but she has got pretty decent form on good tracks without winning. So, you know, I don't think that'll be a worry. The track should be nice. It should have a bit of give in it out there at Rose Hill today. There's a few clouds around now as I talk, so I think she'll run well in a tricky little field that's competitive, but she should be hard to beat.
Oxford Tycoon goes around at Kembla Grange on Saturday. It's their big meeting there with the gong worth $1 million and Foolish on Saturday as well there. So are you going to Gosford or are you going to Kembla Grange, Junior?
Foolish probably won't run, and Oxford Tycoon, okay. I'm still waiting for the fields to come out of that. Actually, barriers come out yet for that meeting? Geez, they're
not
slow.
Quite. They are, aren't they, right. On a Wednesday? I think right. Peter Valandis is deliberately doing that for us. We always have to wait beyond 11 o'clock.
You've got to accept at 9 o'clock. You accept at 9 o'clock, they're normally out. But no, Oxford Tycoon will run really well on Saturday, assuming he can draw a barrier. That'd be nice. We've had a pretty
six,
good week,
junior.
Actually. Sweet Ruby.
Barrier 6. Barrier 6 you've got.
Six. Yep. Oh, that's pretty good. We'll take that. Yep. Yeah. Should be able to. 6 of 12, is it? I think 12 in the field.
Yep. That's it.
So okay, we'll right in the middle. Yeah, he'll run well. It'll be a strongish race, but if there's a little bit of the track should be probably in the soft range down there. So yeah, he'll run a good race. So Bubba today into Oxford Tycoon. We had a good win yesterday. Sweet Ruby, then Scone on Monday. You missed Rockstep, who was 61s into nines.
Ooh. Yeah, well, we missed.
You got the cash at Scone.
I missed the text message. That's what I missed, Junior. I was at Johnny Stewart's place
sorry,
as well,
sorry,
one
boys.
Of your biggest owners. I don't think he even got it, Johnny the Great. So we'll have to suss that out, Junior. Did you get on more importantly?
Yeah, anyway, but I did, yeah, I did.
Yep.
And I thought they just got it wrong, the tab. Just got the yep. price wrong, yeah. So.
Isn't that
unfortunate?
Definitely.
Isn't that the greatest thing in life when you can back one off the map like that and you see the price and then it pans out the way you want, Junior?
Yeah, well, it ended up starting $9 on, I don't know how much money was put on it, but when I saw the first price, sometimes they just get it wrong, don't they? And then you sort of think, am I wrong or are they wrong?
Yes.
But, anyway. That was a good start to the week. Sorry I didn't tip it to you boys.
No,
but anyway.
That's all right, Junior. Hey, you know when you're having a good time in life and you're flying is that when you can dominate in a World Cup final and then you've got one of the favourites in your first horse, basically, I think, that you've been involved with in a WA Guineas like Mitch Marsh has. He part-owns Ray Day, who's a superstar for Simon Miller, who's talking big things about this galloper heading across to the eastern states in the autumn. So I think Sean's always loved his racing, Sean Marsh, but I don't think Mitch has had too much involvement. Now he's got a superstar in his hands, Junior.
Yeah, well, Mitch had a share in a horse with us called Never Out, actually. Sean had a share in a couple of horses as well. Yeah, Mitch, but he didn't know much about the caper. He wasn't too flash on paying his bills. He sort of kept forgetting about them. But he's always been interested. I think Sean in particular. I think Sean had maybe a decent horse with Gay Waterhouse, if I remember correctly, a few years ago. But, Mitch, he's travelling. What else can he do?
Yeah, well, he's
winning the World Cup.
He says
WA Guineas.
Yeah, WA Guineas. I read in an article the other day, he knocked back about $3 million in IPL contracts to concentrate on the playing for Australia in Western Australia. So he deserves
he'll get
a good
that
horse.
Next year.
Yeah, he'll get about $5 million next year. All right, lads, always fun. Any other text messages, Whitey, as we say goodbye?
Yeah, there's a few here. George Bailey shooting himself in the foot. This is from Eyes by sort of declaring Marcus Harris it maybe a bit earlier than he should have. There's a fair bit of support off the text for Kawaja, concerns around pain, not being ready in time, and one here also for Mark Waugh. What is going on with Trumbull?
Trumbull, as I look out the backyard, he is in the paddock. He trialled a few weeks ago and lost a shoe and ripped half his foot off, so yeah, he's just in the paddock at the moment getting his feet right. So, frustrating.
That's from Tommy Tamworth, Gareth.
Yeah, Tommy. He's a loyal listener. Tommy from Tamworth.
Tommy.
Now, Junior, how many donkeys have you got at your property these days? Not including Trumbull, who races a bit faster than a donkey.
Yeah, he is. Just the three. Three donkeys out in the back, yeah. Yep.
Three donkeys.
That's enough. I'll tell you, they chew plenty of grass. They're good on the tooth.
All right, mate.
They get into the hay up in the shed as well. Yeah. They eat the horse's feed. Yeah. Got to watch them.
Poor Trumbull's, he thought he'd go and have a spell and get the best feed in town and Kim would look after him, and the donkeys are stealing his lunch.
The donkeys are bustling on his tucker.
All right, boys, thanks very much for that. I'll text through the best trailers today so you can get on, lads.
Oh, okay. Thanks, can we have a look at that jumper? Can you take a photo and send it out on social media?
I'll definitely
do that.
Turtleneck?
Cal Greeno's just rocked up too, yeah, and he's got a few fast ones as well. Good on you, lads.
It's a cable knit.
Junior, I've seen your fashion and Whitey. I don't see you wear your sneakers with your jeans like Seinfeld. So I don't think
Seinfeld.
Yeah, you can't give any lessons in fashion.
Give anything.
All right, lads. See you later. There we go, right, Mark.